21. Four-wheeled pursuit. Modo ran to the centre of the town, not caring if Octavia or Colette could keep up with him, and skidded to a stop in front of the inn. A carriage had just pulled up and a gentleman was stepping out. Modo pulled the passenger aside, grabbed his luggage from the cab and tossed it to the ground. He threw a handful of francs at the driver, shouting, "Drive west!" in English, then in French, "Conduisez à l'ouest!"
"Non, non!"
The driver reached for something on his belt. Modo vaulted up to the driver's seat and shoved him over the edge, a small club clattering on the cobblestones beside him. Modo snapped the whip and the horses surged ahead, the carriage lurching behind them. His mother! They had her and they would dissect her, would do whatever it was the Clockwork Guild was doing to create their monsters and nightmare machines. He would not allow it.
"You are not behaving appropriately," a woman's voice said from behind him.
He saw a pair of hands grab the lip of the driver's seat. Colette climbed up the side and, rather gracefully, considering the circumstances, sat beside him.
"This is appropriate behavior,"
he shouted. He snapped the reins again.
"Faster! Faster!"
It was only after he caught his breath and some of his wits that he asked, "Is Octavia aboard?"
"She is, though whether she will survive your driving is another question. You cannot even keep the horses on the road. Here."
She grabbed the reins.
"You hold them like this."
"I was doing well enough," Modo said. "Where does this road take us?"
"Back to Etaples. This is the only road to the coast, and they will not be racing like we are."
The small window from the cab to the driver's seat slid to one side. A pair of eyes looked out.
"Oh, the French girl is steering," Octavia said. "No wonder we're in such a hullabaloo." "This carriage is not designed for such speeds,"
Colette yelled back.
"Well, you two seem to have everything well in hand," Octavia said. "I'm going to get 40 winks.
"You can sleep now?"
Colette asked, incredulous.
"No worse than a quiet day in a St. Giles pub."
She slid the window shut. Colette gave the reins another snap, and the horses sped up. Farmers pulling carts of vegetables rushed to get out of their way. Colette shouted at an old woman with a blood-stained poultry sack over her shoulder. The grizzled woman stepped off the road a moment before she would have been trampled by the horses and made a rude gesture.
"The horses will tire soon," Colette said.
They were already slick with sweat, their manes drenched.
"Then we'll steal other horses."
Modo stared hard at the horizon, as if he could will his enemies to show themselves. He assumed Lyme had a carriage. If they were on horseback, they would travel faster, but it would be more difficult to hold their struggling prisoner, his mother. Unless, of course, they had taken measures to stop her struggling. He didn't want to imagine that. It was also possible that they had taken one of the many side roads. 10 minutes passed, then 20. The horse's breathing was ragged. Just as Modo was beginning to lose hope, he caught sight of a distant carriage.
"There! There! I see it!"
Colette flicked the whip and the horses whinnied angrily, but responded with greater speed. The driver of the other carriage was coming into focus, a thin, tall man.
"That is Lyme, I am certain," Colette said.
"Then hand me the reins."
Modo grabbed for them. At first, she wouldn't give them up.
"Why?"
"Only men drive carriages here. Besides, Lyme will recognize you. Get down into the cabin."
"You do not give the orders, Modo. This is a partnership," she said,
though she relinquished the reins.
"At least hold them correctly. You must feel the horse's mouth from this distance. So, do you have a plan?"
"To smash right into them and knock Lyme off his perch."
"Will your mother survive the collision?"
Modo had no response. He wasn't thinking clearly.
"Your plan will fail. The horses will not charge directly into another wagon, and besides, they are exhausted. Better to approach from behind slowly and not let them know who we are. And we should wake Octavia."
Modo heaved a sigh, pulled on the reins, and pounded on the roof until the window slid aside.
"Yes?"
"They are just ahead of us," he said.
"Do you have a plan?"
she asked.
"What is it with you two?"
he snapped.
"Of course I have a plan. We're going to catch up with them, slowly. From there, we'll have to adjust as the situation develops."
"Ah, we're winging it, then,"
Octavia said.
Before Modo could protest, Colette said, "If you can pull up alongside them,
I will jump across to the back of their carriage and get your mother out of that monster's clutches, and if possible get her back into our wagon. Lyme won't even see me.
You won't go alone,
Octavia said.
I'll help steal the poor woman from under their noses. Let's hope your driving skills are up to it, Modo.
Then that is our plan, he agreed. It seemed impossible to pull off, but he couldn't think of a better idea. They were both extremely brave for offering to do it. Colette climbed along the side of the carriage, her dress flapping in the air. Octavia opened a door and followed her around until both were hanging off the back. Having these two on his side was like having 10 good men. Modo felt a surge of hope. Lyme and his partner wouldn't know what hit them. He brushed sweat from his brow. His features were slipping back to ugliness. Exertion had sped up the process. What did he care? He'd frighten Lyme half to death, then he'd break him like a twig.
Do not let anger drive your decisions, Tharpa had told him many times.
Well, then he'd use it to overpower his enemies instead. Modo eased his carriage closer and closer until he was only 20 feet behind Lyme's. They were now travelling on a winding road towards a town, Etaples, Colette had called it. Modo could see a port in the distance. Lyme glanced back at them, then lifted a pistol. Modo prepared to swerve out of the way if he turned to shoot. Instead, Lyme aimed straight up and fired, sending a flare arcing through the darkening sky. A few seconds later, there was an answering flare from a large steamship anchored near the coast. Lyme was much more prepared than Modo had expected. There'd be swarms of guild soldiers on that ship. He urged the sweating horses on, and within a minute he was alongside his enemy. The carriage curtains were drawn, and that behemoth of a man was in there with his mother. It was all he could do not to jump over there himself. Remember the plan. He slowed the horses, trying to match the other carriage's speed, hoping to make it easier for Colette and Octavia to make it over to the back of Lyme's.
Nous sommes pressés,
he spat out. He nearly shouted, in a hurry, in English.
Passager important.
Lyme turned and glared. His skin was so pale it was almost luminescent now that dusk was upon them.
Fools rush in, he said, where angels fear to tread. Nay, fly to altars. There they'll talk you dead.
Colette had been right. He thought himself a poet, and was quoting Alexander Pope, of all people, and not even accurately. Modo pointed at his ear and shrugged as if to say he didn't understand. He edged his carriage over as close as possible, so close that his horses nearly rubbed sweating shoulders with Lyme's. He felt a lift in the weight of his carriage as Octavia and Colette leapt off.
Passager important,
Modo said, jerking his thumb over his shoulder at his cargo. That's when he realized that it would be too difficult to pull his mother into a moving carriage. Modo could more easily hop across and knock the poetic teeth out of Lyme's mouth, along with his consciousness. Then he'd yank on the reins and bring the carriage to a stop. But how to stop Typhon from hurting his mother?
Why, dear lass, are you taking so long to pass?
Lyme shouted. Modo shrugged and said,
Je ne parle pas anglais.
How do you know I'm speaking English?
Je ne parle pas anglais,
Modo repeated. Lyme chuckled.
The little mockingbird doth sing.
Had Lyme seen through his ruse? Modo gave the horses another snap of the reins, and then, once he was a few yards ahead of the other wagon, he jerked his reins to the left, forcing his horses to cut across the path of the other carriage. At the same time, he cracked his whip at Lyme, hoping to knock him off his bench. As if it were a well-rehearsed feat, Lyme caught the end of the whip and pulled so sharply that it flew out of Modo's hand. Lyme then used his own whip to attack Modo, the leather flying with such precision that it caught Modo below the eye. Modo raised both hands to protect his eyes, but the whip laid open the flesh on his cheek. He screamed in rage, but even through that he could hear Lyme's high-pitched cackle.
Better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven,
Lyme yelled. Another crack, and Modo's left ear stung with pain. Modo released his reins and leapt, hoping he was soaring towards Lyme. A shot rang out.